In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Are you coming to the School of the Holy Spirit? Are you coming? Starting this Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. You can just come for one time. But you know what? Once you come once, you get hooked. Because God will be doing mighty works. And they are happening at Holy Rosary in Winthrop. The mighty works of God. Why? Because our church is a church of prayer. We have people praying there, sometimes all night. Our church is a church of prayer. The Lord says that the house of God should be a house of prayer. We do not have bingo. We do not have anything like that. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him, that's Jesus, that raised, no, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, the Spirit of God raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, if you are a Christian, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, that's the Holy Spirit, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. That the very Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in the believer, in you and in me. And because of that, he will quicken our bodies to be healed. Yes, why? Because the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you live through the Spirit and do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. Mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many that are led by the Spirit, are you led by the Spirit of God? As many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you led by the Spirit of God? Do you hear the voice of the Lord within you? Will you follow what he says? I tell you, there are many voices out there. And you know, everyone is not the voice of God. We can hear other voices come in. You can always tell when those voices come in. You know what happens? You start worrying. You start being concerned about things you shouldn't be concerned about. That's when you need to find a penny, because that says trust in God. Trust in God. In God we trust. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, are you a son of God? Are you a daughter of God? Are you led by the Holy Spirit? I tell you, the Holy Spirit led me to this ministry. I did not lead myself to this ministry. I knew as a deacon that I would be on radio. I knew that. How did I know that? Because I knew that. God put it in my heart. I didn't know how. I didn't know when. But I knew that. Something within me knew that I'd be on radio. I never thought I'd be on for 30 years. But I knew it. I knew it. I know. Why? Because the Spirit of God let me know that. Because if I was led by the Spirit of God, I am a son of God. The Spirit of God gave me that unction to know that I would be on the radio. Now, I'm also on cable television. I don't particularly like that, to tell you the truth. I don't particularly enjoy being on cable television. But I'm telling you, it gets the gospel out. And if it gets the gospel out, I will continue to do it. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to be afraid, to be fearful. Whenever fear comes running in, you must know that you must crucify the flesh, because the two walking sticks of the devil our fear and worry and overly being concerned and being tormented. These are the walking sticks of the devil. But you have received the spirit of adoption. That means God has adopted you because the Spirit dwells in you, and He has adopted you as His own son, and we cry out, Abba, Father. You are an adopted son of Jesus. Jesus paid the price for the adoption, you know, and the price was His precious blood. You are an adopted child of God. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Hallelujah. Is there anything greater than to be a child of God, adopted, paid for by the blood of the Lamb? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified with Him. Yes, what kind of suffering is the Scripture promising us? He's promising us that people will reject us, that there would be things in our life that people will not like. They will reject us. They will call us names. Persecution, what's happening in Africa? So many things are happening. Persecutions in Nigeria. These are promised. The Lord says, father against son, son against father, daughter against mother, mother against daughter, for those who believe in Jesus. I tell you, the suffering that God promises, not arthritis, the suffering that God promises is that we have persecution. Now, I don't want to give you a persecution complex. I want to tell you that's what God promises us. Not that we be sick, not that we be retarded, that we be people who are persecuted for the name of Jesus. Persecuted for the name of Jesus. If we are children, then heirs, like we belong to the Lord, therefore we get the will. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, providing that we suffer with Him, persecutions, that we may be also glorified with Him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, yes. That the persecution that we are experiencing now is of no account as compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. I'm also saying it is difficult to be persecuted. No one likes it. But you know what? I tell you, the glory of God will continue to reign in us and will be victorious in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. That all creation is waiting for the manifestation of God's children. I tell you, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. I tell you, all creation is groaning after the children of God, that they put on resurrected bodies. The whole world is in travail, for we know that the whole of creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Yes, it's waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. It's waiting for the manifestation that the Spirit of God dwells in us. Hallelujah. That all creation groans and travails, giving birth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. The complete adoption will take place when we get resurrected bodies. I tell you, these bodies that we have now are lovely, but there's going to be a day that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, who dwells in us, is going to give us resurrected bodies just like Jesus. Just like Jesus, yes. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. Well, you know, the first fruits are always, always the sweetest. We had Dorothy with me today, and she told me that last night they picked the first zucchini. That's the first fruit. And I tell you, the first fruit is very sweet. But let me also tell you something. The first fruit tells us that there's going to be a harvest. Oh, yes. We have the first fruits of the Spirit, and we are waiting for the harvest. But not just waiting, praying, preaching, loving. We are waiting for the harvest, and the harvest will happen with the adoption of our bodies, and we will have risen bodies like Jesus. Whoever talks about that, we say it every week at the Creed, that we will have risen bodies, that we will be raised up with Christ. But whoever talks about that, this body that you see now, this body you see now is going to be raised from the dead. It's not going to be an old body. It's not going to be a fat body. It's going to be the body of the resurrected Tom. Why? Because the Spirit of God dwells in me. And the Spirit of God dwells in you. You too will receive a resurrected body. That will complete the adoption. Oh yes, we have the first fruits of the adoption. Through the blood of Jesus, we're forgiven. We're forgiven. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? Forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. But I'm also telling you, we await the full redemption of our bodies. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the full adoption, the redemption of our bodies, resurrected bodies. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, he does not hope for. We are saved by hope. But I'm telling you, before hope comes, there's faith. Faith is the primary experience. Faith, hope, and love. Abide these three. The greatest of these is love or charity. But let me tell you, charity might be the greatest, but the first is faith. That our faith is intact in Jesus Christ, and in the Father, and in the Holy Spirit, and in the Word of God, that our faith is intact. Catherine Kuhlman used to say, as long as your faith is intact, everything is going to come out all right. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? If your faith in Jesus is intact, everything is going to come out all right, even the stuff that bothers you today. If your faith is intact, everything will come out, oh, she should say, all right. That's the way she used to say it. God bless her. God bless her. I know where she is. By the grace of God, she's having the best day today. But if we hope for what we do not see, then with patience, we wait for it. Oh, yes. We wait for the resurrected bodies. But let me tell you, I'm not just waiting. I'm preaching. That you would come to know Jesus, that you would be a child of God, that you would surrender unto Jesus. I'm not waiting and just waiting and waiting. We have to occupy ourselves with the things of God until the full redemption of our bodies take place. Oh, yes. I'm not just saying, you know what, it's the summer and I'm not going to preach to you. No, you need to hear the Word of God. I need to hear the Word of God. You need to be taught the Word of God. I need to be taught the Word of God. I tell you, I'm not just waiting. I often say good waiters get good tips. I'm not into just waiting. I'm waiting, but I'm occupying myself with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we're having this school of the Spirit, so that people will get busy doing the work of God. This is the work of God, John says, to believe in the one he has sent. Yes, and then to use our hands to touch people, to heal people by the grace of God. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not how we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groans which cannot be uttered. Oh, the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Why is the gift of tongues so important? It is so important because the Spirit makes intercession for us, that the will of God would come about. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me tell you, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm telling you that we have not experienced so much that Jesus wants us to believe that the kingdom is going to come and his will is going to be done. Now, we need to keep the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. No one is sick in heaven. No one is worried in heaven. No one is fearful in heaven. God wants the kingdom of God to come upon us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would not be afraid, and that we would pray that the kingdom would come and that his will would be done in me as it is in heaven. Yes. You see, we talk very little about heaven, but those are the things that really work. When something is of the earth, it just fizzles out. When something is of heaven, it continues. Oh, yes. So we want to continue in preaching about heaven. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former heaven and the former earth have passed away. I tell you, St. John the Revelator saw a new heaven, and we're going to have new heavens and new earth, because God says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he that searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, not we think, we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. Oh, yes. This, to hold on to this scripture, 8:28 of Romans, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. So look at the things that are miserable in your life. I'm telling you, we get scared of this or scared of that. All things work together for the good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. You have been called according to his purpose. And I'm telling you, whatever even makes you afraid right now is working together for the good, because you love God. Do you love him? Do you love him? I have a beautiful lady that calls me every day, and I pray with her. Her name is Gladys, and she loves the Lord. She's an older lady, and she says, I'm hanging in there. But then when I lead her in prayer and she prays with me, my Lord, good things begin to happen. All things work together for the good to them that love God. Even the depression that I used to feel, I'm not feeling it now. Isn't it great? That's going to work together for the good. Why? Because I love God. Do you love God? Do you love him? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? All things work together for the good to those who love God and have been called according to his purpose. Oh, I want to be doing the purposes of God. I do not want to do my own thing. You know why? When I do my own thing, nothing happens. When I do the purposes of God, there is a harvest. Oh, yes. My own thing is not what I want to do. I want to do God's thing. God's thing bears fruit.
God's thing bears fruit through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you love God, everything you're experiencing that's negative, you will have all things will work together for the good, even those miserable things. Even those miserable things. If you love God and are called according to His purpose, who are you living for today? Are you living for yourself or are you living for the Lord Jesus? Who are you living for today? You see, I'm telling you, in the letter to the Ephesians from the book of Revelation, they were doing all good things, but Jesus, the angel said to the people in Ephesus, I have this against you. You have lost your first love. Repent, repent. If not, I will take away the candlestick, which is the church. I'm telling you, we have to get back to our first love, that love of God, that love of Jesus, through the power of the Spirit. I am convicted by that word, because God wants me, as well as you, to be lovers of Jesus, lovers of the Father, lovers of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's very easy to say, I'm going to do the works of God, and that's all I need to do. This is the work of God, it tells us in John 6, to believe in the one He has sent and to live for Him. Are we living for Jesus? If we're living for Jesus, then all things will work together for the good because you love God. Because you love God and you're called according to His purpose. Oh, it's wonderful to know that I've been called according to His purpose. If today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. If today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as they did in Meribah and Massah in the desert. Do not harden your heart. Give yourself to Jesus. If you have backslidden, it's time to come home to Papa, come home to the Father, for we are the children of God, and we can call God Abba, which means Papa, which means Daddy. Yes, we are the children of God. How do I know I'm the children of God? Because I'm led by the Spirit of God, by the grace of God. Oh, yes, today I had no idea I was going to be doing Romans 8. I had no idea. I'd had other plans, but I think I've been led by the Spirit of God because I'm doing Romans 8, and this is what He wanted me to do. Then it says this, if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh my, that is very important. Teresa of Avila used to say, God and I make a majority. Where does she get that? If God is for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. No one can be against us if God is for us. And of course, people are against us because you know what? They have big mouth. They want to wag their tail and wag their tongues about people. But I tell you, if God is for you, who can be against you? He that did not spare Jesus, His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Jesus freely give us all things? Oh yes, He gave us the best when He gave us Jesus crucified and raised from the dead. Will He not give us all things? Yes. I was with a good friend of mine yesterday. He's a young man and just married. He has a baby and another one coming on the way. And I said to him, you've got to begin to tithe your money because God will bless you and God will open up the windows of heaven for you. He tells us in the scriptures, try me if you don't, you can try me about this, that if you give the first tenth to me, I will open up the windows of heaven. He that did not spare His own Son, the Father did not spare His own Son, but delivered His own Son up for you and me, for us all. How shall He not with the Son also freely give us all things? All things. Who shall lay a charge against God's elect? Will God, who justifies? Will Christ, who died for our sins and was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us? Like, listen, who will condemn you? Will God, who justified you through the blood of Jesus? Will Christ, who died for you, rather was raised for you, who is even at the right hand of God, making intercession for you today? Who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress? No. Shall persecution? No. Shall famine? No. Shall nakedness? No. Shall peril? No. Shall the sword? No. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, who gave his life for us. Hallelujah. All things work together for the good to those who love God. Hallelujah. This is the word of the Lord. Harden not your hearts if you hear the word of the Lord. Do not be afraid, because God has chosen you to be his child in the power of the Spirit. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.